The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
From today until Friday, psychologists will gather at the Psychological Society of Ireland annual conference, which is happening in County Laois. The event will cover all sorts of topics from mental health, social justice, child psychology. And joining me now is Dr. Vincent McDarby, President of the Psychological Society of Ireland. Vincent, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What are the big things on your agenda?
So this is our first conference in 3 years because of the COVID. We're going to have over 400 members down here. I suppose the big thing is we've got two keynote talks. We've got Steven Pinker, who's the New York Times best-selling author, talking about his new book, Rationality. We have Professor David Cantor, he's an applied social psychologist, giving a talk on psychology that counts. We actually have we commissioned a documentary on the 50th anniversary of the PSI, the Psychology Society of Ireland, which was actually 2 years ago, but we're screening it at the documentary, and anyone that's around, it's a really interesting history on not just the history of the Psychological Society of Ireland, but also the history of psychology in Ireland. We have presidential citations for Adam Harris, who's the CEO of the autism charity As I Am, also for Rory O'Neill, also known as Panty Bliss. We've got a public talk that's open to the general public. It's on it's a panel discussion on sport and mental health. So we're going to have Dave Gillick, okay, the sprint athlete, Brittany Hogan, the rugby player, and Colin Begley, player welfare manager for GPA.
Oh my goodness, you have a very full agenda. Underlying all of this, though, is a shortage of psychologists. I mean, time and again on the programme we hear about somebody going to the HSE and being told their child needs to see a psychologist, but the appointment will be months, if not years away.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the moment, there's 10,000 children on the primary care waiting list. There's another 10,000 children due for assessment of need. The HSE's own project office report from January 2021 said we need an additional 323 psychologists in mental health alone. Disability capacity review said we need 110% increase in child psychologists, but we're not graduating anymore. I mean, we graduate roughly 100 psychologists per year, but there's been no increase in that, and there's no solutions or no funding from government.
How many does the HSE have on its own books, and do they use private consultants as well?
I don't know what the numbers are that the HSE have in its own books. They sometimes contract out. So particularly something like assessment of need, where they haven't enough of their own psychologists to do, they would contract out to the private sector.
But clearly they don't have enough. I mean, if you've got 10,000 children on the list and 10,000 are waiting for some sort of assessment, that's just such a huge number that they clearly don't have enough staff. So of the 100 that graduate every year, how many go into the HSE?
The majority of them would go into the HSE. So if you look at of the 100, about 60% of them are funded by the HSE. Those will go into the HSE. A lot of the others will as well. But 100 isn't enough. You know, and what we need is funding for more psychologists. I mean, the PSI have proposed is additional 50 psychologists per year for 5 years. They cost about 2.45 million per year. But even if you were to put the funding in now, you won't see extra psychologists on the ground for another 4 years, because it's going to take that long to upskill the courses and put the psychologists through the training.
Okay, now what is the training? If you want to operate as a clinical psychologist in the HSE, do you have to have a primary degree before you get your practical training? How does it work?
Okay, so if you want to be a clinical psychologist, what you'll have to do, a recognised undergrad degree in psychology, which is usually 3 to 4 years. You'll then generally have to do a master's in psychology, which is 1 to 2 years. You'll then do a period of work as an assistant psychologist, usually 1 to 2 years, and then you'll do a 3-year doctorate on top of that. So it's a minimum of 8 years and usually longer.
My goodness. So if we're short of these skilled people, it's going to take nearly a decade, if we started today, to get those people in place.
The bottleneck is really at the professional level. So you have the professional clinical counseling education courses. So we're actually graduating a lot of people at the degree level, you know, and even at the master level. But where the bottleneck is people moving from that level onto the professional doctor training courses. That's the point at which there's only 100 places per year.
That's the logjam. Okay, so you want more places. So we're talking about if many of these graduates who've got the undergraduate degree, if they then embarked on the doctorate course, you're talking about 3 to 4 years before they would emerge.
Yeah, so someone that's got their graduate degree and they've got their master's and will have done some work experience in assistant psychologist, at that point, then it's another 3 years.
Okay, and then they are committed, if they do that course funded by the HSE, to stay with the HSE for a certain length of time.
If they do not, see, the problem is, so you've essentially three professional courses. You have counselling, clinical and education, but only the clinical are funded, even though all three of them are doctorate level courses. They're 3 years, and all three of them involve, while they're training, the trainees working for the HSE, only the clinical. There's a big inequity there. Only the clinical courses are actually funded. So people doing clinical courses will receive 60% of their fees paid and a salary because they're actually working for the HSE. The counseling education courses, even though they do their training as well working for the HSE, they don't get funded or salaried.
Okay, and the nature of those different jobs then? I mean, what did each of the three categories do?
Well, I suppose there's a lot of crossover. Do you know what I mean? A lot of the training is the same, but you know there is some difference as well. You know, the counselling clinical psychologists, you know, for the most part, you know, will work in kind of, you know, a lot of the adult, child, mental health, primary care sectors. The educational psychologists, they'll work for NEPs within the educational system, but they can also work within, you know, primary care, mental health services. So there's a lot of crossover actually between all three areas.
One of the texters says, psychology is and always has been a closed shop. Public salary isn't good enough and you can't get a leg in if you've no family in the industry. Fix the funnel and you fix the problem, so says that texter. A couple of other psychological stories, I suppose, that are in the news. One report suggesting that mandatory reporting of sexual abuse has silenced survivors. In other words, that because of the new rules on mandatory reporting, that people who really don't want it to go further just want psychological help themselves, and yet it's reported to Thusler or whoever, so therefore they don't seek the help they need.
Yeah, I suppose it's important to remember, like, mandatory reporting was a really important piece of legislation when it came in, and it's very important in terms of protecting, you know, the welfare of children. But, you know, I suppose one of the problems, it's almost like, you know, cracking a nut with a sledgehammer. There's no nuance there. And really what you're doing, you really want to get the best balance and stuff between protecting everyone from sexual abuse, but also allowing survivors to share and process their experience in a safe space. I mean, the process for a person disclosing sexual abuse, it's a really complex and delicate one. And really it's something that needs to be taken into account. And the problem with the law is that it doesn't have that nuance. Yeah. So, I mean...
The information which was comes from a team of researchers at the School of Applied Psychology at University College Cork. And they say, psychologists in the current study outlined how mandatory reporting needs to be submitted regardless of whether there's any identifying information on alleged abusers. This results in the anonymity of victims being threatened in small communities when reports are made to local child protection and law enforcement agencies. One psychologist reported a client injuring themselves deliberately for 2 weeks in a row on a daily basis in response to the amount of distress that mandatory reporting was causing.
Yeah, I mean, the law is very clear on mandatory reporting, but as I said, it doesn't have the nuance to take into account the experience of someone who's disclosing abuse. It's a very complex and delicate experience.
All right. And another psychological story doing the rounds today. The Secrets to Happiness, according to a headline in the papers, Secrets to Happiness revealed, switch off your phone and have more sex. There's also beetroot juice and mindfulness.
The secret to happiness is do more of the things you enjoy. I mean, this all sounds like things that I would enjoy.
All right. And if that's looking at your phone, if that's what turns you on, well, maybe that's what you should keep on doing. Vincent, thank you very much for joining us. And I wish all of those attending the Psychological Society of Ireland conference well.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.